John Wayne Wright, and beginning the visit of George and Peggy Wilde this Sunday, Easter Sunday, the 14th of April, 74. John Wayne Wright, and beginning of the visit with George and Peggy Wilde this Sunday, the 14th of April, 74. Channel 1 Right, and beginning of the visit with George and Peggy Wilde this Sunday, the 14th of April, 74. Channel 1 Right, and beginning of the visit with George and Peggy Wilde this Sunday, the 14th of April, 74. Channel 1 Right, and beginning of the visit with George and Peggy Wilde this Easter Sunday, the 14th of April, 74.
I eat about it every 3-4 hours. I take a little snack or something. I got that way ever since I had ulcers.
Oh, I see.
So I just eat a little bit at a time.
And Peggy does about the same.
But she gets up all hours of the night. She'll either get up and make... and she wonders why she don't sleep. She'll eat 2 or 3 frankfurts. You know you can't eat and go to sleep when you fill up on a few frankfurts. I should get up and cook a pork chop.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah. And sit there until 4 o'clock in the morning or 3:30. Or sometimes when that owl hoot shows on, she stays up all the night. She watches that all night long.
That's what?
TV. And I can't do that. They bother me after a certain length of time. I want to sleep. I don't know what the hell with that TV.
The owl hoot show. That's
yeah, that's the one that goes on till dawn.
I didn't know there was one like that.
Yeah, Channel 9. Every, when the heck is it? I think it's Friday nights. Every Friday night that it goes on until dawn in the morning. And Peggy will sit there all night and watch that.
Movie?
Yeah. All kinds of weird stories and everything.
Like, she
yeah, all them old time plays, like the vampires and all that business.
Oh.
I can't go for that stuff. I want to go to sleep. That's why I pushed her in that other room in there. And she's got TV in there, and I got one in my room. But I get the news or something and shut the damn thing off and try to go to sleep. But half the time, hers is blaring and waking me up.
I'll go
build her a soundproof room.
Yeah.
Get some of that acoustic blocking and do the whole room with them.
Almighty, she looks forward to that, don't she?
Yeah, she's a TV nut. Watch that when she gets up in the morning. She stays awake until day dawn. Takes some kind of pill for her nerves. I think she could do without them if she'd regulate herself a little bit better than she does. Them pills are no good for anyone taking them continually.
No, you got to get off of them now.
Yeah. The doctor prescribes them for her all the time. I know.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. What it is mostly all phenobarbital. And that's no damn good for nobody. But I can't break her off of them.
Well, she looks so healthy.
Yeah. She's a nervous wreck.
You mean she's a nervous wreck and looks that healthy?
Yeah. Say she's a bundle of nerves.
Sure
yeah. No, not today. She's all right. Sometimes, like I was this morning after drinking.
Hey,
you're getting nervous as hell.
I put some coffee in my cup, powdered coffee in my cup, and George, I was going to put the water in there. George came around, he's a host, you see, and put it in. And I'm telling you, he hit the cup.
I sure had the shakes.
But you didn't spill any.
Nope. Oh, man.
Well, you don't go to bed at 7 o'clock either.
Well, I didn't last night. I went to the
Saturday
bar.
Night.
Went to the bar.
But when they go to the bar, they, from the impression I get, it's generally stormy.
Oh, really?
Now, last night, it was this... who was it? He was complaining about this young fella.
Oh, that poor guy is just a nut, like, he's drank so much he's rummed him. And he accused me and Dave of stealing his lighter, and anybody accuses Dave of being a thief, he loses his head altogether.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean it was that kind of night?
Yeah. Dave wanted to kill him. I told him, Dave, forget about it. That poor guy don't even know what he's doing.
That's right. He didn't know. He probably didn't know what he was saying.
But that was about it. But he sure accused. He says, "You must have taken it." Dave says he's seen who took it, but he didn't say nothing. Phew.
Well, now, he got a hold of him.
Yeah, he was gonna bust the hell out of him.
Well, he did bust him, did he or not?
No, he didn't hit him. I told him to lay off him, Dave. The guy's a bored nut.
Oh.
But he said if it happened again, he
would. Yeah, he would. Take his head off.
He's going to get his hand in that long hair and just take his head out there and
shake it around.
Shake it around.
Dave sounds like that, but he... when it comes to getting in a fight or something, he shies off from it. I know him well. He can talk big, but there ain't much to him in the end.
Well, that's a pretty safe place to talk big there in the kitchen. Nothing going to happen much in there, is it?
That's right.
we were staff safe. Of course, they were ready to go, and they...
Yeah, just taking a bath and getting all ready on me. I guess he showed up first, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You come right behind him.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. Dave came over to join
you. Yeah, I was trying to get out at 10, be all set at 10 o'clock.
They were sitting, when I got there, they were established there at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Dave was established.
Yeah, he had his beer under the table. He thought I was going to drink with him, but I fooled him. I know enough to lay off. I wouldn't work tomorrow if I got loaded today.
It takes 24 hours to get your head clear.
Oh, does it,
George? Sure does. All I need is a few more beers and I kept on drinking.
Oh, yeah.
I figured
if I didn't touch one then, why, I'd be all right tomorrow. I have to work tomorrow, I don't know. Some days he comes and picks me up, and some days he don't. I told him I don't give a damn as long as I get a day now, and I'm two or three. Right now he owes me about $96.
He pays everybody off. How's
that, George?
When he's shot, well, he'll pay me, but it takes some time. I'm his friend, I guess that's the reason.
Oh.
If he's shot and on his books or something, he waits until he builds it up and then pays me later when his big boss pays him. He's afraid to write out too much checks on the bank. Half the time he don't even know what he's got in there.
He's a subcontractor.
Mm. Oh.
What did he say? He could do anything connected with
wood. Yeah. He told me about my back door, how bad it looked. I told him, I've been waiting for a carpenter. I said, you know, me and him used to live there one time. I think he was with me for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I told him I've had a lot of carpenters here, but they never worried about that back door when they was here. He just looks at me. He built that closet in the front room for Peggy about 3 years ago.
He's a good egg, I could tell. But he he was established and comfortable, and he didn't want to move.
Mm. His wife at home, I was turning up because it wasn't at home 10-1.
Well, that's better than keeping hours up at the university. You can work when you want to.
Yeah.
That's right. There is some advantage in that.
Yeah. You haven't got somebody looking down your neck all the time, punching the clock in and out.
They got too much of that punching clock punching. They ain't much time for anything else.
Right. They spend about 45 minutes between riding the buses and punching the clocks. It's wasted.
Jordan, now who is Dave?
Huh? Dave Mayberry.
Who is he?
He comes from, where the hell is it?
He's not akin to anybody.
Oh. He has no kin up here. What the hell is Wisconsin? I believe it is.
Oh.
He originates from there.
I know he said there were 7 Mayberries in the telephone directory.
Yeah.
And I thought what he was going to say was, you know, that he was had his family all around him,
yeah.
Just like y'all have. And
so they were all the way off.
And these here ain't even connected.
Yeah.
Mayberry, M-A-Y-B-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah.
Dave Mayberry. He said he could do anything with a sawmill. He could take the saw and sharpen it, put it on and use it, take the lumber and use it. He had a pretty good story, didn't he?
Yeah. I've seen him, you know. He'll be on the ground with that skill saw. And the other couple of odd carpenters, you know, sometimes he has 3 or 4, he'd just look at something and cut that damn thing out and hand it to him and tell him to nail it. He is a good carpenter. And he's a good cabinet maker, too.
Oh.
So I guess he's all right in anything in wood.
Yeah,
they were putting these pieces up on this one house, and somehow or other he just looks at it and figures it out as you come down on an angle and everything, and you cut it, and usually every damn piece he passes up and tells him to nail it, it fits right in place.
You mean he can do the angle too?
Yeah.
Oh!
He cut out the eaves of the house and everything and just tell him, take it and put it up there. Pretty shrewd.
I wouldn't mind sort of being in the bushes and look out and watch him work a little bit.
Yeah.
That's true. I wouldn't. Yeah,
he's pretty sharp.
I'd love to see somebody, you know, who's got the natural ability.
Once in a while, one of them will say, "That ain't going to be right." He says, "When I get through it, it'll be right. You just nail it when I tell you."
My goodness.
Amen. He'd say to me, "They think they know what they're doing. They don't know what the hell they're doing."
you see why George works with Dave.
Sure, I do.
It ain't dull.
I cuss him out instead of him cussing me out, but the other ones he won't put up with it. Like I pulled that stunt yesterday, he said he felt kind of tired and the car broke down. He'd already called a mechanic to come out and fix it. And I know the old mechanic, Walt Wales. So when Walt showed up, he says, "I got to go in for some parts." I said, "You take me in there too. Just leave him stay there and go to sleep." So I come in town, and I notice right across from the street is the auto place from the bar I was sitting in. And Walt came back 2 or 3 times to get parts for that car. I'd have been sitting there until about 6 o'clock, waiting for get home. But I didn't get home until late anyhow.
You see, That's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
so. And then when he come, we went to the next bar.
Oh, you and Dave.
Yeah.
Well, I can see you're buddies.
Yeah. He cuts the hell out of all the other ones, but he keeps off of my back. But he told me yesterday, he says, George, I never thought you could come back to this stuff again. You leave something for me to do, and I just go ahead and do it, and he gets out of the way, and he says, I wished I had about three more like you.
Yeah.
Anything that needs fixing up or cleaning, he just walk away from me and tell me I want this and that, and that's it. And he don't bother me no more until I'm all through. He said he had a couple of kids there, and it took them all day to just sweep a house out. Yesterday, he took
one. Cost him $50 to get the house swept out.
Yeah, this just about. Yes, he says, I'm going in town. He says, you'll be good for the day here. I told him, Dave, I'll be through here inside of 4 hours. And he looked at me. Okay, I'll be back at 2. When he got back, I was through about 1:30.
What were you doing?
Just cleaning up and, you know, up over all the doors where the plasters and hung the sheetrock and stuff. I had to trim all them out, all the doors and stuff, and clean everything out that they threw all over the place. So I cleaned the house out and all the trash they had thrown out through the windows and everything. I had it all done by 1:30.
You know, I've never had any experience with sheetrock.
Mm.
All I know is that it is nasty.
Yeah, it is.
You just
hell to work with.
Over everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're in a new house, it's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're working in a house where you're living, man, it can get you, can't it?
Oh, yeah. An old house. I fooled him. I taught him something he didn't know. I went over and stole some of the painter's mineral spirits and all the sawdust that was around there. I gathered it all up and got a wheelbarrow and threw it in the wheelbarrow and just poured that mineral spirits in, mixed it up, and went and scattered all around the house. Swept it up, no dust flying or nothing.
Where'd you get on to that?
Just from working around, trying out different things. I used to raise hell with them over the university, get me some of that cured sawdust, but boy, you couldn't even get, they won't even buy it anymore. When I was in the Siegel building, they used to give me some. Then they stopped it altogether.
Talk too much.
Yeah. But you'd take regular sawdust and make it up yourself. There's one way of keeping, when you're sweeping, it keeps that dust straight down. You do about the same thing with coffee grounds.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. You don't want a bunch of the damp coffee grounds, tea leaves, anything like that. It'll hold down the dust if you just scatter around and sweep up. I've done some crazy things in my time.
That is crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
Just
it sure holds the dust down.
That's about as screwball as you can figure out, ain't
that's
it?
That's right.
Well, now that's what it takes, Ray. I guess you got to be a screwball and
that's right.
Come up with something like that.
Mr. Irby, when I was down there, she used to be hauling all the time for this cured sawdust, and they wouldn't deliver it. So we used to make that big coffee urn there for the help. I used to make it every morning. And I'd save all them coffee grounds for a few days. Then one day she come in and I had it scattered all over that cement floor. That was a dusty place there. There was always cutting stuff and everything. And she come in and looks. She says, what are you doing, George? Isn't that coffee grounds? I said, yeah, watch how it works. And I was sweeping there and she was used to the colored kids coming in sweeping and the dust flying all over the place. Man, that cleaned up that floor and no dust at all. coffee grounds, damp held it down. Amen.
You don't get many people like her to work for.
She was a nice woman. Phew, she sure raised hell when they pulled me out of that Siegel building.
Oh, they did that while she was there?
Yeah, she wrote a letter to Tallahassee. And it wrote to the boss over there and told them off. Man, she really rode them. And that's why the big boss didn't like me, because she rode the hell out of him. She told him, she says, you're fooling with the wrong people. So she says, when Judge gets through cleaning up over there at the university, you better send him back to Siegel Building. You'll hear a lot more. Well, I got a copy of that letter, the same letter she wrote. She gave me a copy. She said, I want you to hold it. Her and Joyce, I just put them in a house there somewhere. I'll show it to you someday. She sure was burned up that day they took me away. But when he came there, he done that to everybody in the whole university.
Oh, he just switched.
He switched everybody. If they had worked in one place for 3 or 4 years, he'd pull them off and put them in a new place. He had that whole university going nuts. He's a screwball if there ever was one.
I know. He's the one who really, he got things all stirred up.
Yeah.
And he affected everybody. He affected me. See?
Yeah.
Because the people that he'd send over there where I was, they was halfwits.
Yeah.
You see, I used to see you around.
Yeah.
And I thought, hell, that's another halfwit.
Well, I was hanging around with all the halfwits.
Well, there you
go. We'd all get on the bus together in the morning.
Yeah.
Man, that was the craziest bus I did. I was happy to get out of that bus ride. You'd be riding for about 25 minutes and noisy, all them jigs hollering and talking. I never seen buses like that. God, they can talk about nothing. That's what gets me.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Laugh, oh, Jesus, they have a ball. They're the screwiest people I ever seen.
And that lasted a good while. And
yeah, and then coming back at nighttime, the same thing over and over. Man, I was getting so weary of that. Amen.
Now, look what the fellow has to put up with, see, just to make a,
no.
That, that was,
yeah,
I figured until I got in that 65th birthday, why I'd put up with it for that 1 year. Boy, I'd never go through that again.
You did what, John?
This new boss, when he came, he got everybody upset. I got switched 3 or 4 times while he was there for that last year I was working.
Where all did he send you?
First, he sent me to Norman Hall. I worked there.
That's
and,
an old...
Yeah, and this old school teacher there, Mrs... Love or something like that. She told me, she says, George, this place has never been so clean until you came here. And then all of a sudden he started to switch me, and then she started to raise hell. I used to clean the gym. She was an instructor for the gym and all that stuff. And I used to clean that up. She says, the floor is nice and clean now. It was never that way.
Oh, you couldn't tell, see, even over there where I was, you couldn't tell that anybody had ever been in there. All they did was empty the waste paper.
I know it. I've been over there. Yeah.
Man.
And that was your last post. I guess that was the bottom of the ladder where they sent you over
where
I am.
Yeah.
You had them 3 buildings.
Yeah, I had them 3 buildings. Hell, I'd stop at Floyd Hall, Flint Hall, Building I, and then them 3. And they thought that one person could keep that all up.
Once a day?
Yeah, every day. Every one of them, you're supposed to go through and clean them. I used to look at Floyd Hall and open the doors, and I'd go change the toilet paper and get the hell out of there so I could get to Flint Hall before the students got there. And then hit building I and supposed to sweep that out, and that was the nastiest place I ever did hit. Then get over to Black Culture and clean that up. It was all carpets in there. I had to vacuum it every day. That's why that old guy liked me there, that old nigger professor there. Told me nobody ever vacuumed this every day before. I told him it was the only damn way to keep this place clean.
Every day.
Every day. But the English building, I didn't do much of nothing there because you couldn't even get in the rooms half the time to do anything.
And they don't have master keys anymore.
Yeah.
Their door got to be open.
Yeah. Then I'd have to go over the press and clean that up. Phew. Well, when that woman came and told me she was my new boss, that was the day I gave my resignation. I told her, I said, I hope there's no hard feelings, but I just quit. She looked at me, what is on account of me, George? She said, we can get along fine. I said, no, I just quit. She said, you go give me 2 weeks' notice? I said, you just got it. I'm going to work this next 2 weeks, and that's it.
Now, you told her something else. You told her it just happened to
yep.
hit you right that minute.
That's right. I told him I wouldn't work for that nut over there anymore anyhow. I'm just sick and fed up on him. She's gone back on nights now. They pulled her out of there, from being the boss of that territory.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. They got that place so scrambled up, it's pitiful. Phew, I don't know why the hell Tallahassee don't do something about it, but I guess they never will.
Well, you know, I'm tempted to say that Tallahassee probably screwed up just as much as this.
10-1. Oh, man.
I'd love to hear that too. Now, let me see. What were we talking about? You put up with a lot of limers, first and last.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, my people come from Wales, which is practically the same thing, but for some reason or other, I just didn't like them.
Just personal matter.
Yeah.
Just personal to you.
Yeah. I just couldn't stand them. Because they brag so much and everything, you know.
Talk big.
Yeah. So one time in Reno, they had this big club there, the Club Mex.
Rio, Faye. That
Rio
big place.
De Janeiro.
Oh, Rio, however you call it. I never could
call it. A great big club there, and the Limeys had two ships in the harbor, and they had taken over this club. And whenever... like a Yank or something come in there or from this side of the ocean, Christ, it beat the hell out of them or something. We just couldn't get in there. So I went to the manager of the place and hired the whole place for
$2,700. The whole place?
Yeah. I told him, now run every one of them damn Limeys out of here. So I brought the whole ship's crew down. We had a ball. Couple of days of it.
Couple of days?
Yeah.
And no limeys?
No limeys were allowed in. I bet you them limeys was glad when we got out of port.
And you footed the bill?
Yeah, $2,700. Well, we didn't know what to do with our money then. We was making so much.
Well, that's 100% in the war zone. Yeah.
Yeah, 100% in the war zone. If you went under any kind of an attack, you got 125 for that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, now you see, he's been places, eh?
Yeah.
God almighty, that's a long ways off, George.
Mm.
If you set out going down there, it'd take you 2 or 3 weeks to get there, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. According to the speed of the ship, some of them I was on only made 12 and a half knots or so. some old slow Liberty ships. Take up a few weeks.
But you didn't care.
Just rolling along with the waves. What I used to get a kick out of Liberty ships when we'd pull in the port, would be there a week or two. Some old tankers, you'd get in, you'd be, it might take them 8 hours to load of the whole ship, and then you'd be off again. You wouldn't even get no shore leave. I quit them.
But your Liberty ship, you'd be there indefinitely.
Yeah, almost. Stayed one port one time, 45 days, and got 100%. A day.
In
Korea.
Well, that's in Korea.
Yeah, laying in the harbor in Korea.
Well, I hope they had some places to go.
I found places.
Now, you was never on a troop ship, see? There were no Liberty ships hauling troops.
No. I've been on them when they sent nurses and things like that across. Yeah, but never on a troop ship. I couldn't stand them things.
What would be the trouble?
Huh? Oh, Jesus. When they put them men down in that hole, they're always sick and rough of wood and everything. Man, that's murderous. And you've got no space to walk around. Everybody wants to come up and get on top because them damn places down there are bad. Bad air and all. I don't know how the hell they could put people on them Liberty ships like
that.
They
stack them bunks.
Yeah.
6 and 8 deep.
Yeah. All up the sides of the ship. Ew, I couldn't stand that.
In a cargo, you got bunks.
Yeah. Cargo hole full of bunks.
You just pick your ship.
Yeah, I always did.
Oh.
If I'd have stayed with one company, I'd have got a pension. But I kept going from company to company. If I'd have stayed like in the Standard Oil or something, one Texas Oil, one of them companies, I'd had a good pension, but
yeah.
I always picked out where the ship was going. That's where I want to go.
And then you'd have gone right along inside the coast all the time.
Yeah, I'd have been playing up and down the coastal waters. Phew, if I heard a ship was going to Norway or something, I'd wait and get that ship. I was an independent sailor.
Well, you know, I didn't. I thought that's one reason why people were sailors. I thought most of them would be pretty independent.
Most of them are now. We had to go through a lot of strikes to get that way. I remember when we'd take and throw a mess of food out on the table that wasn't fit to feed a hog.
Is that right?
Years back, that's right. And that was Standard Oil and all of them. Until the unions got in.
Yeah.
Now, Standard Oil pays you more wages to keep out of the union. Even to today, they got their own company union, which don't mean nothing. I went through all that stuff when I was a kid. I used to they called me the agitator. I was barred from a lot of the companies. I'd come up to the captain with a tray of food they'd give us before I became an officer. And say, would you eat this, captain? Because I knew they were getting better. He'd say, you're just looking for trouble, aren't you? I'd get logged and every other goddamn thing.
You mean you started out as an agitator?
Yeah, I had to get them unions going when I was a kid. Me and Mello Nolan and the hell was that other Joe Curran got to be such a big shot. We was the agitators all up and down the East Coast and the West Coast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we gave them companies a ball for a while.
What else did you do?
Huh?
What all did you do?
Well, we try to hold strikes and this and that for better conditions. And After a while, it got into bloom when you didn't get what you wanted. You just sat down, went on strike till you got what you wanted.
On each ship.
Yep.
And nothing they could do about it.
They call it piracy, but you was in port. There was no piracy there. Mutiny. The government won a few cases on that, but they never done nothing about it. God damn. I had a good time anyhow. Plenty of excitement. One time we had pulled a strike in Boston, and there was only one man that dared to come down on that dock. And you know who that was? That was John Kennedy.
Oh, really?
Nobody'd bother him.
Is that right?
He came down, talked to us, well, boys, how long is this going to be until we get our demands? And he'd go up there and find out what he could do about it.
Is that right?
That's right. He was the only one that dared to set foot on them docks and walk them. Otherwise, they'd been in the water.
Yeah.
That man had more guts than anybody I ever seen.
Is that right?
Yeah. They lost a good man when they lost
him. Now, when did he do that, George?
During the strikes in Boston.
What year?
Oh, Christ, that was, from about 1939 right on until we got all we wanted.
On up to the war.
Yeah.
During the war,
I was an officer then, but I was still on the strikes. We had even the MEBA out on strike. Master mates and pilots. We raised a lot of confusion, but now they get what they want.
Well, that John Kennedy was right young then, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was pretty young then, but he was still about one of the best people I ever ran into.
Yeah.
I think the whole family's that way. Though they say a lot about them, but I thought he was one of the best presidents this country ever had. But he's hated down through the South and all through here.
Well, that's that integration stuff.
Yeah. Well, he was all for that, and that's one of the reasons, but that part of it I didn't like myself.
Yeah, but it didn't pinch you the way it did down here.
Yeah. I remember once when we was going to see this, the only niggas we had on them ships were mess boys or cooks or something. And now you can go on most of these companies and they're all over the ship.
Yeah.
That's half the reason I quit going to sea altogether.
Well, now that's, I understand that a little better than what you said before.
Yeah.
So you just...
I just got disgusted, and half of the companies were going under the Panamanian flag thing.
Yeah, you see, I quit over there the same time you did, and you see, I was fed up for various reasons, maybe some of yours. But you see, some of my best friends since I've been down in Florida was fellas over there working in maintenance. And I used to know all them nice, there's old broken down farmers, you see.
Yeah.
He'd got to go, a farmer couldn't make a living. They'd come in there and get a little job, and then they'd farm on the side.
Yeah.
Well, they'd come around. Hell, you could sit down and talk to them, George.
Yeah.
You could talk to them. Yeah, old Bunny Hole. He was a screwball if you ever saw one. He's big in the middle, egg shaped, you see.
Yeah.
And he sort of looked like he was cross-eyed and wore his glasses whenever he read, and then it right down on the end of his nose and his pin-headed and everything like that.
Mm.
And he'd come up there with them old work breeches on, them old blue work breeches, not jeans, but, you know, tennis shoes.
Mm.
And if he didn't look a real clown, and, you know, he's one of the nice fellows I ever saw.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? First thing you know, all they'd get was those gooks that you talk about.
Yeah.
And then you get them dim-witted fellows, you see, from the institution out there.
Yeah.
Well, know what sort of world is that.
That was like Monroe in my nursery there. They sent over to Sunnyland, got some of them kids over there.
Yeah, Sunnyland.
They damn near drove me out of my mind.
Yeah.
I'd start these machines, you know, for mixing the dirt and stuff, spreader and stuff like that. And they'd come over and shut it off and look around, see if he was watching them. Man, I blew my top. I told Monroe, I said, you either get rid of these nuts or get rid of me, because I can't put up with this. No.
Well, now, you see, Faye, you take a fellow like George, he never sticks anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I say if he stays over there in the tube department for 6 years, I'd call that pretty good sticking.
Yeah.
But then you see something like this happens, and it just builds up, and it don't get any better, and what can you do?
You gotta do something about it.
You just tell them to go to hell. That's about all you can do, ain't it?
Yeah, that's about all.
After so long a time.
I never loafed more than 1 or 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
I'd go
quit one job and just go out, find another one right away.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, now you see what happened, and you think, well, hell, this fella here, he ain't practical prudence, you see, look what he does. About time he gets established, he walks off and leaves it.
Mm.
Well, you do, or else you'll go crazy.
You either do that, or else you'll go out of your mind trying to work with a bunch of nuts or something.
Yeah.
That'd have been as bad as they was after a while. Ew. But I sure had some screwballs they tried to work there. Some of them kids came out all pretty good, but most of them,
they were
nutty as a bedbug.
Yeah, some of them, that's all they could do.
Yeah.
They weren't responsible.
Yeah. Whew.
But one thing, you see, one thing George has done, I never could do, you see, he'd rather get in a good skirmish there, you see. It just gives him a good appetite just to think about it, you see.
Well, you don't want things to be too dull, George.
No, you've got to have a little excitement.
Was you ever in a free-for-all?
Oh, yeah, Christ, I've been in many of them.
Well, now, how did they work out?
In the end, it don't look just right after it's all over.
What's that?
It don't look just right after it's all over.
Well.
And especially when you got to put the bill. I've been in a lot of them barroom brawls, and boy, none of them ever paid off.
Well, now, what takes place, George, in a barroom brawl?
Well, once in a while, somebody will be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden they'll get in a fight, and their buddies join in. Before you know it, the whole place is fighting.
Well, what happens when they all fight?
That's when the police come, after everything's about busted up.
Well, how you bust it up?
Well, you're hitting each other with chairs or stools or what the hell's ever around. Then after they collect in so many, they got to pay for the damages. Or else do time.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, when you fight with chairs, you see, both of you got a chair.
Yeah.
So you don't have a fair shot at a fella. No?
You just keep rushing it around, hitting who you think is your enemy. I used to do that when I got down here, first got down here. Geez, I have a fight in all the bars.
You just pick a fight?
Huh? No, I wouldn't exactly pick one, but if somebody gave me any lip, boy, I'd just turn around and smack them one, and then everybody would be hopping on me, and a few of my friends would hop in to help me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got Peggy in a couple of them brawls a few years back.
She remembers it, I guess.
The only thing she done to help me out was to hit a friend of mine over the back with a cue stick and knock him cold.
A friend of yours?
Yeah. He was coming to help me. I attacked this big guy, they call him Regan. He's about 6'2", just about that and big and husky. And they had this Cliff Wilson. Every time you play the jukebox, old Cliff Wilson would get up. He was a little jerk. He'd get up and whistle at the top of his voice. And I knew to get at him, I had to hit this Regan. I told him, Regan, you either tell him to quit whistling, I'm going to slug you. And I slugged Regan all right, but he knocked me down three times.
But you could get out.
I kept getting up, coming at him. And then this old Johnny Nobles got up to give me a hand because Cliff Wilson was sticking his nose in the two. And when he got up, Peggy floored him with a cue stick. He said, God damn, George, I'll never try to help you again. Oh, man.
Well, now, that would change,
That was funny, but I wouldn't have wanted to got hit with that cue stick the way he did.
Well, Regan knocks you down three times in a row when you keep getting up.
Yeah, that agitated the hell out of that big bastard.
He wasn't used to that?
Yeah. Every time it hit me, I just rolled with the punches. It wouldn't even affect me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It didn't even bother me. I'd wore them out in another half hour or so.
And him trying.
Yeah. Him swinging away.
You don't run into anybody with any dangerous weapons,
ever. Oh, you do often in them bars. Christ, it was only about a month ago, some nut in there got up and put a knife across my throat in the oyster bar.
Yes?
Yeah. Peggy was sitting right beside me. I think he was full of weed.
Yeah, you can't tell. What
yeah. These kids today are nutty as hell.
If
I'd have got excited, he'd have cut me.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at him like that. I told him, boy, you made a mistake this time. I said, because when you put that knife down, I'm going to get you, because you ain't going to cut my throat here. He just looked at me and put the knife away. When he did, he said, come on outside. So I told him, you just go right ahead. I'll be right out. He was nutty as a fruitcake. And I knew his mother and father, that's why I didn't push him to get him arrested or anything. So he goes outside and he pulls that knife again right beside the door outside. So I picked up a cue stick and I made a believe him coming out to walk by the door and I jabbed the cue stick around, caught him in the belly and he dropped the knife. I was going to work him over that cue stick. Man, he took off down that road and he was throwing bricks at me. Nutty. And the cops brought him back and asked me if I'd press charges. I said no. So I seen him about 2 weeks ago up in John R. Thomas's. I said, you want to pull another knife on me, punk? He said, forget about it. Amen.
I didn't quite picture the motion of that cue stick when you knocked that knife out of it.
He went out the door waiting for me to come out to fight him, you know, and he still had that knife, and he had it open when I got out there. But I stopped and picked up that cue stick on the way out, and I got right to the...
You had that in your mind.
I sure did. He wasn't going to beat me the draw the next time. I reached around the corner of the door and jabbed, and it hit him right in the belly.
Before you got out.
Yeah, before I walked out the door, I got him with the cue stick around the corner.
He was just waiting for you to come out.
That's right. He's going to hop me with the knife again.
So you just got to drop on him.
Yeah. Old Jesse come running out and picked up the knife and called the police. But that jerk had run away down the road and he stopped. I kept falling. I couldn't run, but I had that cue stick. If I caught up with him, I'd have busted him clean apart.
Well, now there you are.
That just happened recently.
Yeah, just about a month ago. Peggy she was so scared she didn't know what to do.
She's sitting right beside you.
Yeah, it kind of got her too when I just looked at him and told him, you made a bad mistake this time, punk. When you put that knife down, I'm going to get you.
They're not actually tough.
No, they really ain't tough, but if they got that weapon, they'll sure cut you if you get excited at that moment.
Yeah, but you see, that's the sort that can't afford to get tough because they ain't tough.
That's right. I see the little jerk off and on now. He seems to be back in condition again. But he was full of weed that night.
Yeah.
And I never did ever speak to him. The way he pulled that on me, I could never understand.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, that was about it.
Oh, man, it just makes me tired to think about all that. That's something.
Pretty soon I'm going to have enough sense to stay at home. I don't know when.
Won't be any fun, George.
No, I guess it wouldn't.
Well, when you were in the Navy, you didn't run into young...
I was in the Merchant Marine.
Merchant Marine, excuse me. The youngsters, I mean, the fellas weren't doping. They weren't... Their fights were a little different, weren't they?
You didn't have to put up a dope then.
Oh, you always get them on a ship. There's always one or two of those.
There was then?
Ship, yeah. You always run into dope fiends here or there.
Oh.
All them ships, there'd be somebody aboard there that was a dope fiend.
You know, I never pictured the dope fiends as being physical. I always think of them as retiring.
Yeah, they retarded all right after they get that dope in them.
They retire and withdraw.
But sometimes they can take an overdose and be as dangerous as hell.
Well, can they? Just get out of the
head. Yeah. I've watched them all my life.
Well, now you see, just plain whiskey or beer, you know how that, I mean people know how that affects you.
Yeah.
And, know kind of what to expect, it's a little different.
Yeah. A guy that's all whiskied up sometimes gets in a lot of trouble, too. A lot of people shouldn't ever touch it. I should never touch it myself, but I do.
I'd rather have somebody all whiskied up than full of dope.
Yeah, so would I. But in a way, that's about the same as alcohol dope, because an alcoholic is really, in his way, a dope fiend. When you need a drink continually, you're just as bad off as a dope fiend. There's only one way to stop an alcohol. You got to quit altogether, or... This sociable drinking, there ain't no such thing once you start drinking steady. That ends sociability. I know.
Now say that again.
I say there's no such a thing as a sociable drinker.
Yeah.
You drink so far and then...
Then you start drinking.
Yeah, you really drink. You lose all that sociability effect. Next day you need another drink.
That's what I'd say, too.
You see how I was this morning? Now just imagine me doing that day in and day out, just killing myself.
George, if you start drinking beer, you don't mix it, do you?
Well, once in a while I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get bad.
Well, beer mixes pretty well with a little whiskey.
Yeah, I used to do that in my younger days. Take a shot and the beer to drown. And then that catches up with you.
Does it?
It sure does. That's what they call boilermaker.
Uh-huh.
Not hell out of you.
Yeah.
Ooh, what do you? Used to watch them old stevedores. That's what they'd always do. Come in and get a 3-ounce glass of whiskey and down it with a beer. And some of them would do it all night long and then go back to work the next day.
You can build up a sort of tolerance.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's what the stevedores would come in and ask.
Yeah, they get it. They used to serve them just about a 3-ounce glass of whiskey in the old days. They can't afford that now, I guess. And they top it off with a beer, just throw a beer on top of it. They were tough characters.
God almighty, yeah. Yeah.
And then go back to work.
And then go back to work.
Do that all night?
Yeah. Get off work and come back to the bar and have a few more before they went home. That would be their dinner too, some of them.
You'd want to be there, particularly how you talk when you're around there.
Yeah.
Right?
They wouldn't have any trouble spending their money.
They get damn big pay now. Years back they didn't.
George, beer is expensive too.
Yeah. Some places it's 45, 50, ABC stores 60, just for a small can.
I bought some the other day, but I don't remember
how
much I paid.
It's all right if you buy it in like one of these big stores or something. You get it a lot cheaper. If you buy it over a bar, it's going to cost you plenty. And that's what that guy's in for the business. I guess he gets about
50%
drop.
Well, you can't go and sit at the bar and drink your own beer.
No. You wouldn't last long in that bar. You'd be shut off and sent out. Or else you'd call the police.
George, I don't know what we're going to do about the fishing. I guess we just have to go back to Lake Lusa.
Somewhere.
Over at Arnie's Lake.
Yeah.
Somewhere where you can get out in the boat, see?
Yeah.
If it's so far out.
Yeah.
That there reminds me of a place I used to go when I was a kid, see the swamp, they called it. You'd be walking the ground, would keep moving with you all the way out, all boggy.
Yeah. Just wear your snowshoes.
Yeah, you'd have to wear boots. But the best fish there, nobody ever went there because it was so dangerous. And I used to, when I was a kid, I used to go to that cedar swamp all the time and fish.
Well, if George came out, it'd be no trouble at all for him to run down to one of these little fish camps and go out and fish.
Oh, it'd be nice to go out.
Yeah.
But you see, this is worse than it's been.
Yeah.
And I've been out there, and it's no trouble. You push a little piece, you see, and then you get in the boat and you can push with the paddle.
Mm.
But yeah, you see, you've got to push your boat all the way out there.
Yeah.
This is about as dry as it's been, see?
Yeah, it's the driest out.
You see, the water has been all up until now, it's been clear on up to the edge.
I know.
The water has been there, it hasn't been deep,
yeah.
But it's been up there.
But it's been so you could get the boat out until recently.
I didn't realize it was that far.
I didn't realize it was even until, just yesterday, I guess.
But I remember about the first year I had cattle down here, the second somewhere along there. We really had a drought. In this country, this time of year, it's dry. And all this country was just dry, and the grass would sort of spindle and turn purple and all. And in that back pasture, the water was going way on out, but you see, as it went out, there'd still be that band of fresh grass, and that kept my cows going all that dry spring. Well, it didn't make them fat, but they didn't suffer.
Yeah.
And now you see it's not too wide across there, but when the back of your property, you see, goes like this and like this. You see, in a half a mile there, you may have a mile of that swamp.
Yeah.
And that saved me.
Mm.
Oh, I was thankful for that maiden came back there. And you know, for a long time after that, if it growed up, you know, if there's plenty of grass, they wouldn't keep it down.
Mm.
And I'd take more back there, and you know, go through, make three or four passes and keep enough of it mowed down where it'd be yeah. tender, where they could eat it.
I don't think I'd make much of a cattle man.
It's right steady.
Yeah.
You see, when you're not back there with them, you still got them on your mind.
Yeah.
When you don't realize it, you yeah. still got them on your mind.
Well, I'll tell you, George, I wouldn't care about you being a cattleman, but I sure would like to have somebody knew something about carpentry around. That sure would be nice.
Yeah.
That's something you could teach Guy. He doesn't know anything about
it. I don't know too much about
don't
that.
Don't you?
Yeah. I'm just like a helper.
Oh, a helper.
Of course, I nail a 2x4 on or something like that. That's what you need on that table out there.
Well, that needs a new table.
Huh? No, you could fix that up.
Yeah, you can fix
just
it up.
Just knock the...
You have nails on it, you have to use your drill.
Yeah.
And bolts.
Yeah.
That hard wood, the way it is now, hard wood won't take a nail.
Mm.
You have to use a bowl. Mm. Now, that's my experience.
Yeah.
But see, if I'd got this that earlier before it rotted out and kept it out of the rain a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'd got to you all earlier, I'd have got you on it today.
I wonder how it'd be to use some, that cypress wood.
Yeah.
The legs, the same thing wouldn't rot so fast.
That's right. Except the cypress,
it
gets all sapwood.
It what?
It's all sapwood.
Mm, yeah.
You don't get it in. Solid pieces.
Mm. Mm.
I make gates out of cypress and it just disintegrates. Stays there a while and the first thing you know it's coming in two.
Right, I didn't know. I got a little cypress to hold up.
Yeah, well, it's worth it in cypress. We got a little sappy stuff. That's the reason they use all these metal gates. I don't care for the metal gates. You can't touch them, they'll bend. I've got a right smart. If I put cattle in again, I've got to rebuild fences. And you know, fencing has gone to such a price, you can't buy that. Just a fence.
Mm.
Even barbed wire cost you $18-$20 a roll. Well, see how far, and it got so that wire is not very good. You know, there's a whole lot of difference in the wire.
Yeah.
You think wire is wire, but it don't work out that way. You never hung out with Peggy's friends up in Georgia.
I know quite a few of them, but I never hang around with any of them.
She has some family there around you in
Gainesville. Yeah, crazy. One lives in back of us, one lives down the end of the next street over.
Yeah, but you are.
On the other side, there's some more. Her Uncle John, Dick.
Now, which one's in the hospital now?
That's HL or something like that. He come down to retire. He was an electrician. I think he works for the Ford company, too. He came down to retire, and the cancer eating him up.
Yeah, he didn't know it?
I guess he knows it now. I noticed on his face he's had cancers removed. You see, like that one they removed on me. You see them blotches on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's the one in the hospital now.
Yeah. That's a hell of a thing to get ready to retire and then you're ready to die.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why you and Guy were smart to retire when you did.
Yeah.
Well, I'd done it earlier if I had enough sense.
Yeah.
Just wait for things to creep up on you. That's not. I don't get there. Hell, if I'd retired 5 years ago, I was a whole lot different 5 years ago, Joe.
Mm.
I had a whole lot more vigor 5 years ago. That's the truth. They go in there and see why they're getting along.
Okay.
I don't know what they want to do.
Well,
Peggy gets along with the old people. Very good.
She's ready.
Well, they may be having a good time. They're leaving home.
I think I'll get a glass of
water. Let me get you one. That's just.
Maybe you want to get it on.
Wee.
You might. There's a.
Thank you.
Bathroom's right there, George. I don't know if you even washed your hands or not. Well, how y'all doing?
Yeah, that tastes like soda.
Water.
I don't taste no the hell you chlorine in it, anyhow.
Let me tell you, I took a liking to that little Brenda.
Yeah.
She's right.
Do you know what happened afterwards?
No.
Remember her and Peggy was going off?
Yes.
They did.
They
Brenda got drunk to the ears. She was talking how she could control it.
Yeah.
She sure can. Her and Peggy wasn't bad, but I knew she had quite a few with Brenda. I think Brenda scared the pants off of her riding her around in that crazy car she got. They showed up in the oyster bar and Brenda was loaded. Her husband come in and grabbed her and dragged her home. He was mad too. I told Peggy, I told you not to drink when you're with her. She says old Brenda was tries to go 60, 70 miles an hour on the road, raising the hell.
God almighty.
She was sure scared.
God almighty. Don't.
She gave you that sermon how she could control her drinking. She sure could.
Yeah.
I just got a kick out of that and her showing up like
you
I
knew
her.
Yeah.
She don't do it often, but she did it that day.
Well, you know what got me is she came in and she was she acted like she was at home and she talked and picked up what everybody was saying.
Yeah.
And she got that sort of crooked mouth like people have up in Georgia.
Yeah.
And I know she's right sporting.
Yeah.
But I knew she wasn't in the 25. I could just tell by looking at her.
I thought she was about that. I didn't know.
22.
22.
That's
about it. She's hot stuff. That nephew of Peggy, Joe, she would dragged her out of that barroom.
Yeah.
Peggy started to say something. He said, you shut your mouth. She's going home. And I turned around to Peggy. I said, you heard him. You keep your goddamn mouth shut, too.
Were you there?
Yeah. They come right. I was sitting at the bar when they come in, and about 3 minutes later, he sure popped in. He just got through work, I guess.
You were sitting at the bar when they came in.
Yeah. He popped right in a few minutes later.
Well, he must have been home and missed her.
No, he was passing by in his wagon there that he rides to. I don't know what the hell you would call it. It's a sort of a. What do they call them cars? German ones? Van, wagon, or some damn thing.
Yeah,
and he seen her car outside the oyster bar door. That's how he got wise.
And he knows her too.
Yeah.
What happens when she gets a beer?
I guess he does.
Well, now, what was that she was telling about that they was over there at one of those joints and they was all dancing?
Mm.
And somebody started out that song. Me and Jesus.
Oh, yeah. She got disgusted over it.
Yeah.
says it killed the whole party.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a song to put around juke joints and things, and they got it in all of them.
Is it?
Yeah, there's a couple, two or three religious songs. I don't believe in that. Religion belongs in this place, not in the bar. Ew. It's just like,
Well, now, was this boy singing it, or did he play it?
He was playing it on the band.
I see. He put
and they were dancing to it.
He put his nickel in the juke, in the box, and got that in there.
Yeah, I guess that was it.
Yeah. Well, something I like
it.
Was
I thought it was a band, she said. I don't know. I forget. They were dancing to it anyhow.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a song to dance to.
Well, now, was that over that close to where you are?
No, it must have been some. I think she said Bobby's Hideaway.
Well,
that's in Waldo.
Way over there.
Yeah.
Well, Waldo's not so far from you.
No, it's about 12, 13 miles.
You're right there, close to the Five Points.
I got a thirst today, I don't know what it is.
Well, let me show you, George. I've got this is another variety. Just when you get thirsty again, try some of that. This fellow over there on 441, that's a candy store they used to have.
Yeah.
And they had to have everything the same. And then they had to have water that didn't have the taste to it, or any iron in it, anything like that. And so I got, I would get some of that and bring it over here to drink it. And I got so I liked it. I used to get drinking water up here, this deep well that a friend of mine had, who was up there at that Murphy area, and you never knew him, Phil Patterson. You never knew him. He's a long, tall fella. I don't know why you wouldn't run into him.
Patterson.
Yeah. And you talk about scrappy. Hell, he's scrappy. He didn't do any fighting, but he didn't have to.
Yeah.
He could just spit in your eye almost. And he was one of the nicest fellas you ever saw. I swear to God. He retired about, hell, he was up there from the war. He cut that stand of that last big stand of cypress over there at Meganobi Junction. As the last stand of cypress in this country, he cut that. And then he settled over here and went to work up there. And they put him at that Murphy area, and I think that's where he stayed until he retired about, I don't know, 65, 6, 7, somewhere along there. 65 maybe. Oh hell, I don't know when he retired, because he was out for several years before he died. He had a bad heart. Oh, he was a card. I'm telling you, he was a card. If he would sit down here, George, you'd know it.
Patterson.
Yes, Phil Patterson. And then old Herlong took over. Herlong was there before he got there. But you didn't run into them.
No.
That's curious.
Yeah.
Now, Herlong retired, and he lives back over here. Down there, from Meganobi, over on the far side of Tuscarora. His daddy, you know, was one of the rich men here. and his uncle was congressman from down around Lake County.
Hmm.
I don't know. I know his daddy. I used to go out every night. His daddy was—he was elderly, way on up in years. But he—I used to go out with him and look at some land. He'd go anywhere to sell you a piece of something. First time I really got a shock for the land prices. He showed me a little piece of rundown land over there with a little bit of short growth timber on it. I don't know how big it was, but I remember the price very well. He said he did it was $5,000. Well, the way you think for selling then $1,000 would have been big money. You see, the prices come up slow over the last couple of years.
And they jumped up. That old shack I live in, you know, one time that was only valued at $1,600. And the land on that, and now it's gone up to, what was the last price I got on it? Went up to $2,400 and something. And now it's valued at $2,400. It's valued damn near right now at over $4,000. Just for that shack.
Yeah. Man lies.
The minute I got the toilet in, it bounced up $1,900 in one lump sum. The toilet don't amount to nothing. I still gotta have that outdoor shit out. Oh, man.
Well, you know.
Just to run the pipe out of on the toilet cost me $785 for the plumber to run the pipe.
George, I don't believe that. That's hard to believe.
I'll show you the goddamn papers. I got them yet. $785.
That
was a colored preacher that put it in brown. That's pretty near. That's why I had to get that $1,000 out of the credit union to pay him. Just running that damn pipe. I'd borrowed $600 off of the household finance. Yeah. He put the bathtub Miss Irba gave me. And that little sink that's in there, he got it someplace for $1, a second-hand sink. He told me he gets them all for $1 a piece. So that's all it cost him was to put that one bathtub in the toilet and that little bowl and run that pipe, $785. I believe the goddamn toilet was secondhand, too. Man. You don't believe that, huh?
That's hard to believe it.
You wait until the next time you're around, I'll dig that out and show it to you. I was so goddamn mad. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't get no other plumber. They're all busy. Damn plumbers charge you $20 to just come and look at something now.
This old fellow over here.
And you know how long it took him to put it in?
Couple of days.
No, about 6 hours. Came in with one of them diggers and dug the trench out, laid the pipe. No time flat. That was a $785 for just this. You come back the next day, put in the other stuff in the few hours. And then it was a bum job all the way around. I had to call him back because the damn thing was leaking in a couple of places. Phew. But that's what they made me do, or else they was going to condemn my house. And change my electrical wiring, which I haven't changed much yet.
How long has that been? Since you plumbed?
Oh, about 2 years now.
Well, what do you have? Your outhouse?
Yeah.
Well, what in the hell is wrong with an outhouse out there in the woods, George?
Yeah, but they're not allowed in the city limits. They made everybody tear them down, but I'll bet you there's a hell of a lot of nigger places that still got them. Yeah, I didn't look around, but I know damn well there's a lot of nigger houses that have them.
You know, that's what we used until I got through school. And even after we got some running water in the house,
yeah.
We'd still go out there in the garden, that little old outhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know. And hell,
right, I used to go out there and sit down and read the paper.
Out there by yourself.
Yeah.
God almighty, come to think about it, you know, I can see the inside of many an outhouse around the country there.
Yeah.
Lord help us. Now, a lot of the houses I hadn't been in, out there in the country where I grew up, but I had been in a lot of the outhouses. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, you see what you do, when you're growing up, you see, you'd be out there with the other fellas your age, and you might go out there to the outhouse, but you wouldn't go indoors. That's the way it was. Yes, sir, I can see many an outhouse now, come to think about it.
Mm. Especially it was all around that neighborhood for a while.
I still don't see anything wrong with them.
Well, they said they caused pollution.
You know what? They all. You know what I found out? Now, over at Newberry, they put that, they widened that highway through there. And when they did, the state practically forced the city of Newberry to put a white way down there. And just to keep that white way going would cost them $200 or $300 a month. And the state was behind it. The city or town of Newberry didn't have much choice. Now, I remember when that happened, and I remember the fellow that told me about it. And it was just hard to believe that the state would get in behind stuff like that. So, yeah, let me tell you. I used to hang around over there in the farm, in the university farm, and I knew a lot of them.
I keep forgetting you don't like this smoking.
I don't come in my way. See, it's on you.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't mind. You don't mind it. And I'd see all that equipment over there. That old John Deere and the Ford and all. And it's the first time that I found out or realized that I always figured that if the state bought a piece of equipment, that meant it was the best equipment on the market. Well, what I found out over there was that they just bought some of all of it. And it meant nothing whatsoever, except that the state was in politics and had to buy the damn stuff, whether they wanted or not. Now, that's the first I ever realized that. And then you got all this other stuff to see where the state makes them put a white way out there when the town don't want it even.
Yeah.
And pay all that price for it. Huh. And hell, if it didn't be, I'd rather not have it. Yeah. Who wants all that darn stuff to fool with? I've been stuck many a time on this on this this all this stuff. But I tell you, I have managed not to get hit bad at any one time.
Sure.
I've just been lucky at that. Now you see, I had to rewire this house. This thing here didn't have a breaker box. This thing caught on fire one time after I got here. It just happened that somebody was here.
Yeah.
So we took out all that wiring. Well, that was back in not long after I got down here. And I guess that's around maybe 63. And at that time, these fellas were still available. They hadn't all gone into town to work.
Yeah.
Old Willie Chitty did that for me.
Anybody want anything?
So no. We're doing fine right at the moment.
Okay. Everybody's doing fine.
And Willie came over here and did that, and he charged me, I think it's $1.50 an hour, and I kind of doubled the price, whatever he charged. I doubled it, because I knew it was worth more than that. And he was a great talker, and he'd keep it on time. And if he got to talking with you out there and couldn't stop, he would
mark it off.
He'd mark that off. And I'd tell him, hell, Willie, I'm glad to pay you for this because I'm learning a little something. We'd be talking about a pump or something like that. But as long as he's standing there and talking, wasn't doing a thing, I don't care what he's talking about, he'd deduct it. Well, he's the superintendent of the Sunday school out there, keeps the church going. I didn't know that at the time. And I guess he figures he's got a kind of peer on it. And he's a nice fellow, there's no doubt about it. Willie Chitty. Now he's working up there. And you see, he's out of circulation out here. Now I wonder if I could get him, you see, he could rewire that. He's a better electrician than anything else. He did all this work here for me. You see, I got out here just in time. I bought the place just in time, and then I lived out here just long enough to sort it. I put in both these pumps, new pumps here. The wells were here, but I put in the pumps, and a little of everything, and painted and everything. And I got here just in time, just under the wire, you see, before them prices started skyrocketing. Why, hell, it was to do now, you see, I couldn't talk about buying a place like this. Hell, I couldn't buy 5 acres. Not now.
Hell no. I imagine you'd pay over $1,000 an acre right now, if not more.
Yes, and you'd be lucky to find it that, from what I hear. And then who are the people that got it don't want to sell it.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
The poor man ain't got a chance now. They're beat.
Well, now that's you got to figure that. You see, you saw the unions come in and you get a better deal working for the merchant marine. But now, I don't care how good a deal you got when you come out here buying property. You was a low man.
Yep.
Cause the money you make ain't in this class.
Yep.
Only people buy money now are rich people.
Yep. The rich get rich and the poor get poorer.
even with the union.
Yep.
Well, now what do you think's gonna come on to equalize it again?
Might take another depression.
Amen.
Yes,
I don't know. after the depression, poor man gonna suffer more than
that's
man.
Right.
God went at it.
Yeah. No way of getting even.
No. I think about that a lot of times. just pure circumstantial. That I ever got out here. I got this place for $125 an acre with a house thrown in.
House thrown in. You did all right. Amen.
But that was the last go around. See? Just the last go around. And you know what I can get for this now? It's just
about $100,000 without even thinking of it.
But let me tell you. Suppose I sell it.
Where are you going from there?
I'm going from here.
I just hold on to what I got, because you won't get any better than this.
I remember one of this fellow I know out there, close to Hawthorne. He was trying to sell his house there for the longest time, won $10,000 for it. Man come by there not long ago and offered him $20,000. And it's an old beat up house. He got a right smart land. And you know, he couldn't take it. He couldn't afford to take it. He'd have to pay in tax on it, because it turns out it's much more than he paid for it.
Yeah.
And then they had anything else he could get.
Amen. Now that's a little old shack that I got there, but if I ever put my mind to start fixing it up, it's good enough for me. If I had to pay rent now, I wouldn't be able to live.
How about that?
Yeah. Amen.
You know that's a close call, isn't it?
Yeah, I just got it paid up in time.
I borrowed money to pay this out with, and I borrowed it from my family up there in Tennessee. They had a bank. Some of the parts of my family pretty well do. And you know, just as soon as the money started rising, I was paying 6%. He started lifting my interest. Well, in my estimation, that ain't right. That is, he
loaned you the money at the guaranteed interest.
All right. Now, if I start borrowing some more from him, he can charge me 7 or 8 or 9, whatever the current price is, but he can't raise that other. So I paid him off and told him to go to hell. No, sir. I tell you, ain't nobody like your family to take you for a ride.
That's right.
And you see, now that's the younger generation, the older generation, you see, the one that's out of business now, they're the ones that always help me. I could go in there, you see, and get money anytime I wanted. I didn't have to have credit. I never wanted much, but I always get it. I always get it just on my signature.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
They want to be a collateral now.
You see, what happened is he couldn't, the bank, you see, if the bank had let me have the money, they'd had to have the papers to them. But instead, he wouldn't let me have the bank's money. He let me have his money.